right, let's stand. Ezekiel chapter 37. Let me start by saying it's good to be back. Amen. Been a few years. I was in a camp meeting. It wasn't this past October, but the one before, September. Brother Jesse was sitting at the piano. Brother Cody Zorn was sitting there as I preached. I said, I used to help in a meeting up north, youth meeting, and I introduced them to Brother Cody Zorn, and he preached me, the little sucker preaches so good, he preached me right out of my spot. Brother Jesse spoke up on the microphone, said, yeah, that's right, and we like him a whole lot better. That ain't right. Amen. Amen. But it's good to have another spot in a youth meeting. I appreciate the room, the basket. I'm going to be honest with you. I've got kind of this going on. I don't know. It's probably some nerves, that too. But that basket was sitting in front of me, and after a couple of Reese cups and a Kit Kat and a Coca-Cola, and I'm sitting there at that desk trying to run over some notes. I told my boy, I said, you're going to have to get this basket out of here, man. I'm done tearing into this, and I think maybe some of it's all that caffeine and chocolate. I've been in the car all day, so maybe we'll work some of it off right now. Amen? Let's not get in a hurry. Let's see what the Lord has for us. Ezekiel chapter 37. This is a real familiar text. I appreciate the good message we already heard. Amen. That sure is a blessing. Precious things. My, how the Lord's blessed us with them. We ought to stand for what God's blessed us with. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me. The preacher just mentioned that a little while ago. Funny how that goes together. And carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, I like this response, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said to me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, out of this text, I want to preach to you just for a little while tonight with your prayers, this thought. Is that a bonehead standing in that boneyard? Is that a bonehead standing in that boneyard? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being good to us. Here I am now, Lord. Amen. It's my turn. And who am I to stand here in this place and preach, as the preacher already said it, the inspired Word of God. Oh, Lord, I need your help. Please, I've already prayed it. But, Lord, will you please fill me for your glory? That's what you said here in this text. You wanted to perform this act so that they would stand back and say, it was the Lord. And, Lord, that's what we want to do tonight. The preacher said it again. If we do it, It's you, Lord. Anything right we say or do, it'll be you working it through us. So please, thank you for saving grace. Now extend to us that serving grace. Give all of us that blood-tipped, old-tipped ear, Lord. Help us to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches represented in this room. Do a work in our midst that only you can get credit for. Please, in Jesus' name we ask these things. For his sake, amen and amen. You may be seated. Is that a bonehead standing in that boneyard? If you read stories like this in your Bible, and of course I didn't come tonight to do a Bible study for the preachers in the room. I understand this is a second coming context. It's about the resurrection of the nation of Israel. I come to preach to young people. Amen. I'll be preaching it practical. And when you read yourself into these texts, and I would encourage you young people to do that when you study a Bible, this is one of those strange stories in the Bible. All those stories of faith in the Bible, humanly speaking, they're strange stories. Think about it. The Spirit of God carries a man into a valley where there's bones scattered absolutely everywhere, and the Lord asked him the question, said, "Hey, Zeke, can these bones live?" Ezekiel didn't give the response of, "I don't know." He didn't say, humanly speaking, no, they can't live. And he didn't say, Lord, if you get involved, they can live. He gave a response of, "Thou knowest." God, I don't know, but you know. So here's what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm here. You've brought me to this boneyard. Think about it. He asked Zeke this question. He said, "Can not any other set of bones live?" He said, "But the bones now that I've caused you to pass by, can these bones live?" These bones according to their own testimony. Think about that too. Bones testifying. These bones said we're very dry. These bones said our hope is lost. It's not just that we're dry, but we're utterly destroyed. These bones that said we're scattered bones. So it's not just that they're very dry bones and they're destroyed bones, but they're divided bones. That sounds like a Baptist boneyard. Amen. But watch this. It's not just that boneyard that's dry and dead, but it's Ezekiel's boneyard. It's distinct bones. Ezek, these are the bones that I've called you to pass by. Can these bones live? Not somebody else's boneyard. Can your boneyard live? Can your youth group live? Can your ministry live? Can your bus route live? Can your Sunday school class live? Can your family live? Can your ministry live? Can your youth choir live? Can your soul winning ministry live? Can your boneyard live? See, that's where the rubber meets the road. Here's what it boils down to. This is faith. Watch it, boys. Faith comes in right here. When God asked Ezekiel, "What about these bones that I've caused you to pass by? Can they live?" Ezekiel made this statement, "Lord, you know." So in other words, I don't know. I'm not going to say yes and just be presumptuous. I'm not going to take you for granted, God, that you're going to get involved because you may not. And I'm not going to say no. God forbid I'd say no, because here you are, Lord, in my boneyard. And if I say no, then again, you may walk off. So, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I need to know what you want me to do. And between here and the answer of these, can these bones live, I'm just going to do whatever it is you want me to do. Okay, Zeke, here's what I want you to do. I want you to preach to these old dead dry bones. Imagine if you're walking on the mountaintop looking down in the valley and see a fella preaching to a bunch of dead dry bones. Oh, yeah. That must have been a strange looking thing, him down there preaching. And he don't just stop with preaching to the bones. He starts preaching to the wind. Think about it. Calling for the wind to come and the wind to blow. If they're going to fight in the valley, then they're going to have breath. Amen. Now you're up there on the mountaintop looking at this fella down there. He's preaching to a boneyard. And then he begins to preach to the wind and call for the wind to blow. I would say, sure enough, boys, he looked like a bonehead. But you know really what he is? He's a man of faith. He is so full of faith that he's faith full in doing what God called him to do between the question and the answer to the question of whether or not these bones can live. Now, all of us have a boneyard. All of us in this room, we have family members that maybe are backslid or lost. We have friends that are backslid or lost. Let me ask you this. Can your boneyard live? Now, don't shake your head and say, oh, yeah, they can live. They may not. Some of your family, you may never get them in church. They may never get saved. Some of them that's backslid on God may never come back to the house of God. You may never build a big bus ministry. You may never build a big Sunday school class. Hear me, brother. Listen, we're in the Laodicean age. We're living in dry, tough times. Pitiful times. To come on a Thursday night when what was called the small crowd is here, this is a big small crowd in the Laodicean age. Amen. This message is not about whether or not your boneyard is going to live. Here's the idea. What are you going to do in your boneyard between now and the time that you find out whether or not it's going to live? Here is old Zeke now. He's surveying what's going on. He sees all these bones. They call it, you know what they call it? I'm from Kentucky, but watch this right here, boys. They call it osteobiography. Woo, that make you sound smart. Amen. Osteobiography. What that means is, that means the biography of the bones. That means you can study them bones and you can find out. You can find out if they had some sickness and that's why they died. You can find out maybe they was in some fight, some struggle. You can study them bones and see scars on them bones and see that they were thrust through with a sword and that's how they died. You can find out male, female. You can find out all kinds of things about studying them bones. I wonder if Zeke walked by and said, wow, she must have been a big old girl. She was big boned. You ever hear people say that? I ain't never seen a fat skeleton, by the way. I don't know where that ever come from. You ever seen a fat skeleton? But he's out there preaching and he's surveying this thing. And the Bible says, watch it now, said the hand of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit carried him away. Watch this first word right here. And set him down in that valley full of dry bones. Watch it. Number one, he was set, S-E-T, set in the valley. Now, I don't mean he sit down. I mean the Lord set him in the valley. We would say it like this. You can consider it so done, it's like being set in stone. It's the set like a jeweler. We'll take a jewel and set it down in some precious metal. It's set. It is fixed in this boneyard. Right here, he's set. He ain't going nowhere. Amen, Alex. He is set. It's like that Luke 9:51 set where Jesus, the Bible says, his face, it was set toward Jerusalem. He had a set mind. You wasn't going to change his mission. Now here is old Zeke. He's set in his mission. Is his boneyard going to live? Well, only God knows. But here's what I'm going to do. If God says to preach, it might seem strange to some people, but bless God, I'm going to preach. I'll pass by my boneyard. I'll preach to my boneyard. I'll pray for my boneyard. And by the grace of God, we'll just see what happens. Either God will let me die here with the rest of them that have died in the valley in this old boneyard, or God will send the great resurrection and allow my boneyard to come alive, and we'll have revival down there at the Boneyard Baptist Church. Amen. And he's out there passing by, and he's preaching, and his determination. Hey, young people, it sure is easier. It's a lot easier to stay set when the Spirit puts you there. The preacher already touched on it. Don't be careful about trying to find your own way. Do it according to what you think. Where are you going to go to college? Who are you going to marry? Yeah, what you going to launch into as far as your career? I'd be real careful all about that, because what's going to happen is, if you're not careful, you'll get to doing it your own way and get out there. And it's real easy to quit when you figure out, uh-oh, God didn't put me here. What am I doing? Here I am now. The Lord didn't lead me out here in this place. Here's what we're looking for, Brother Sampson. A lot of people are looking for this. They think if God's in it, automatically what's going to happen is they're going to the mountaintop.
Yeah, that's right.
Most of the time in the Bible, it's not that way.
That's right.
When the Spirit gets to lead and to set you somewhere, young lady, the way it works is in Matthew chapter number 3, Jesus is baptized. The Holy Ghost descends like a dove. The Father speaks from heaven. Think about it. I mean, the glory is coming down. It's a good scene. But you know what happens in Matthew chapter number 4? The Spirit of God moves. And you know where it leads Jesus? To the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's strange. In Acts chapter number 8, there's a deacon down there preaching. He's in Samaria. His name's Philip. I mean, Philip has preached God-sent revival. And you know what the Lord does? The Spirit takes Philip out of Samaria, sends him down south. I like that word. I wonder if Ezekiel preached out of chapter 37 because he was from the southern kingdom. I wonder if he preached that message out of Ezekiel 37, the south will rise again. But in Acts chapter number 8, the Lord calls Philip out of Samaria where the revival's taking place and sends him down there in a desert place. Did you get that? I fear a lot of us think, boy, God's going to move in my life. And I'm telling you, next thing you know, I'll be on the mountaintop. And God, boy, it's going to be so good. We'll frolic and play on the mountain. Oh, no, that's not the way it works, especially in the Laodicean age. God ain't calling you to frolic on the mountain. He's calling you to fight in the valley. Yeah. And God leads him down there in the valley. Watch it now. And he's set there. Oh, that God would give us some young people this weekend that'll get a set mind. I ain't going nowhere. That old song said, run if you want to, run if you will. But we came here to stay. I'm not a runner. I'm not a quitter. Amen. I got a made up mind. Hey, boys, let God put some fat down inside of you. Amen. Get that down inside of you, that bulldog of determination that I'm going to contend in the valley. Amen. If it's just me and my Boneyard Baptist Church, I'm going to contend in the valley. Oh, let God put that down in your soul. I could tell story after story. We got a little lady in our church, Miss Carmi. Miss Carmi Cox, she's a little old lady, sits in the center section. I mean, just simple, always lived a real poor, simple life, been saved most of her life, been coming to our church now probably out of the 25 years I've been there, probably a good 20 of them, Miss Carmi's come. Now, the way I describe Miss Carmi, preacher, is if you looked in that center section of our church, she's about five rows back. She smiles a whole lot. That's the most you ever get out of Miss Carmi right here. Sweetest little old lady. I don't know how old she is. Mid-50s, mid to upper 50s. But she loves God. Loves her family. Got a husband, been married for years. And she's got a boy, Josh, big old red-headed boy. But her boy and her husband never would come to church with her. Now, Bruce, her husband, he was old barroom brawling Bruce. Bruce made a profession of faith. Now, it's been about 5 years ago. Bruce is that old redneck. I got a man in our church. He runs a timber cutting industry, but he used to run deep mines, coal mines. His name's Mike Jarbo. Mike Jarbo one day was telling me a story about bad Bruce. He said one day we was out there working. Bruce was working for me. He said he come walking out of the deep mines, out of the side of this mountain. He said the mine inspector was there, the state boys. He said, we're standing up high. He said, it's dead of winter. He said, preacher, I ain't exaggerating. He said, 20 to 30 degrees outside. He said, here comes Big Bruce out of the mine with his blue jeans on, and he's naked from his waist up, no shirt on him. Steam coming off his body. He said, that mine inspector looks at me and says, sir, you got to do something with that employee right there. He needs to get some clothes on. He's going to freeze to death. He said, about that time, Big Bruce goes over to a water cooler, and it's full of ice water, picks that ice water up, dumps it over top of his naked body. Steam coming up off his body, and Mike looks at the mine inspector and said, sir, you want something said, you go say it. And the mine inspector said, no, sir, he's all right. That kind of man. My brother-in-law was one of them old barroom brawlers. He told me, he said, I'm going to tell you something right now, Mike. He said, Big Bruce, that's a dude you didn't mess with. He said, now, he was a country gentleman when he did it. He said, but I've seen them boys come in the Starlight Tavern up there in Jellico. He said, they'd try him because they knew he had a reputation. He said, I watch him just mop the floor with them boys. He'd beat the snot out of them. And then he'd pick them up off the ground, pack them over, and sit them down on their bench and make sure they was sturdied up there at their bench and they was all right. He said, that's the kind of man Bruce was. Now, hear me now. Miss Carmi just come year after year after year after year. This past Easter, I went out to the car. He'd bring her and drop her off. And I went out to the car, and he rolled his window down. He said, what do you need, preacher? Old dope-smoking Bruce. I said, Bruce, I want you to come to church with Miss Carmi. He said, preacher, you know, you've come to visit me, and I've smoked dope right in front of you. You know I can't quit that stuff. I know I need to come to church, and I really believe the Lord saved me, and I know I need to come. But just pray for me. I can get off that dope, and I'll come, preacher. You just pray for me. And I thought, yeah, he'll come. All right, yeah, sure, just like everybody else. But you know what happened? Old Bruce came. It's about a week or two later, Bruce came. Bruce got right with God. If you come in our church now, hear me now, you look back there sitting by Miss Carmi, she's smiling bigger than ever, Alex. She's just smiling, and you'll hear Bruce back there. He'll say, amen. And his favorite thing to say is, God is good. He'll say, boy, Jesus sure is good. He'll remind us. He'll say things like, I'm just so dumb, but can I say something? And he'll say something. And reveal he's pretty dumb, but he'll just brag on the Lord and just talk about how good God's been to him all of his life. And you know what I'm thinking? You know why that is? That's because one little lady had a made up mind. When her husband didn't want to bring her, she still come. When her husband was a cussing and a fussing and smoking dope, she was still right there. Amen. And hear me now, although it might have looked dumb to some of her friends, now guess what? Where there was one, there now is two. So why is that? I'm going to tell you why. She was set. What about it, Zeke? Is it going to happen? I don't know. God knows. But I ain't going nowhere. I'm set. Watch it now. It's not just that he's living that set-up life. He's living that solitary life. There's just one, Zeke. And who knows how many dead bodies? There they are, scattered everywhere. Everywhere. Scores, maybe hundreds. I don't know, maybe thousands. And old Zeke is out there passing through, preaching. Live! Live! Next thing you know, here's a noise. Next thing you know, there's a shaking. That's strange. If I'm in a graveyard and there's a loud noise and a shaking, I'm running. I told you, man, that's one of them strange texts in the Bible. But next thing you know, them bones begin to connect one to another. And there's old Zeke seeing it all take place. Can I remind you of this? God's still looking for that one. That one man, that one woman, that one young man, that one young lady that's holy and totally sold out to him. There he is, spirit-filled, sanctified, set, Zeke. But he's out there all by himself. The men and women that God used in the Bible lived a solitary life. Humanly speaking, a lonely life. Yeah. You make up your mind, you're going to do it. You know what you're going to find out? There was a lot of them around you said they was going to do it that ain't really going to do it. But Zeke did it. Let me ask you this. Can your boneyard live? Can your boneyard live? It'll come down to, are you set? And are you willing to live that solitary life? You know what I would think? I would think somebody like David. David in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, remember that story where he takes down Goliath? Remember that? Oh yeah, in chapter number 18, boys, that's where he comes back and he's got Goliath's head. Any of you boys like to hunt? Oh yeah, I like to hunt. I like it when you mount something. You know what I mean? You mount a big buck or you mount something. We always coon hunted. That's what we did. Samson Ryman. Oh, me and Brother Samson, we got a good coon hunting story. We'll have to tell it to you sometime. The night that Brother Samson went coon hunting with Preacher Mike Gray from Kentucky. Woo, we had a big old time. But I've seen them mount them coons. I like it. It's a trophy. Can you imagine? Watch this now. Here comes David, and he's carrying this big, bloody, stringy. I just see stringy hair hanging down, bloody carcass coming down through there. And you know what it says, boys? The girls, the ladies come out, lined up on sides of the streets, and they begin to sing, Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. And I mean, all the people... Can you imagine? I mean, they're singing a tribute song to this warrior. And all the people are like, yeah! And I mean, it's a big old time, man. But watch it now. Next thing you know, David's running for his life. He runs to his friend, Jonathan. You know what? Jonathan can't help him. Runs to his family, Michael. Watch out for marrying a girl named Michael. That's a problem. Maybe I should be mad at my mama for naming me a boy, Michael. Yeah. I don't know. But he run to his family, and she couldn't help him. Next thing you know, watch it in chapter 21. He runs to the house of faith, and there he is. Ahimelech comes out and asks this question. Why art thou alone and no man with thee? Yeah. I would just think, son, this is the giant killer. That's the kind of guy I wanted to hang around in high school. I was always, you know, I mean, you can look at me, I mean, I'm big this way now. But when I was in high school, 125, 130 pound, soaking wet. Yeah, mullet haircut, little old scrawny guy. I mean, if I could hang around the giant killer, that'd be my friend. Amen. But no friend. Not one. Think about that just for a minute. You say, what's going on? Hey, quit blaming it on the devil. It's a God thing. The preacher said it earlier. It's a God thing, kids. You know what the Lord's doing? The Lord's separating him from the pack. Amen. Out there in the coon hunting world, here's what we want. We want an independent dog. If I go to buy a coon dog, here's what we're looking for, Israel. We're looking for a dog that's not going to back another dog. Not going to what we call honor another dog. We want a dog that can go out there and strike up his own track, tree on his own. When another dog over here is treeing a possum, we ain't possum hunting. Amen. Cheeseheads, what we call them. That's one ugly, overgrown rat. We want a coon, man. You can make a hat out of a coon skin, ain't that right? You don't want some dog honoring dog. You want a dog that can stand on his own. That's going to go out there when he trees. He's not going to let another dog draw him off on what we call trash. Yeah. Anything outside of a coon is trash. If it's fast game, if he's running a deer, trash. If he's running a fox, trash. If he's treeing a squirrel, trash. If he's treeing a possum, trash. Oh no, you have been trained to track, trail, tree this one thing and not be a pack animal.
Amen.
Please understand, that's the way it is in the Christian walk.
That's right.
God has a way of separating his youngins from the pack.
Yeah.
Because as sure as I'm standing here, all of us love to be loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what will happen because you love to be loved? You'll be drawn away when your friends are running trash. So God has this way of separating you from the pack so that you can learn how to stand on your own two feet.
Amen.
I got a little wife back home praying for me, fasting and praying for me. My wife, she, growing up, her hair's a different color now, but growing up, she had that flaming red hair. I asked her one day, I said, hey, baby. I said, I guess growing up, they called you Annie when they picked on you. She said, wrong generation. She said, they called me Carrot Top. I'm sure she would have rather been called Annie. I said, man, that's mean. I said, they called you Carrot Top? She said, yeah, imagine that. She said, you know how painfully shy that I was. I said, man, that's terrible. She said, yep. She said, imagine this. One day she just tell me her life story. She said, my mama worked all the time. Her daddy ran off and left them. Three little girls. She's the youngest of the daughters. Daddy was a cokehead. ran off and left them. She was little 4 or 5 year old. She said, Mama had to work all the time to provide for us girls. We lived in a trailer park. She said, I remember at 9 and 10 years old, coming, riding the school bus home to the trailer park. She said, and being there by myself. My mama told me, said, don't open that door. She said, but honey, she said, them other poor little trailer park kids would come knock on the door and tell me they's hungry. She said, I was just a little girl, so I'd make them a bologna sandwich and open the door and stick that bologna sandwich. She said, I remember being so scared. Somebody's going to get me. Mama was going to find out. She said, and I'd get up and go to school painfully shy. She said, oh, I would dread things like recess, going to gym, lunch. I said, that was my favorite 3 subjects. That's the only 3 I was good at. It blew my mind. I said, what? I said, why did you hate those 3 things? She said, because that's when all the kids come together. She said, if I was in my classroom, I could sit down at my desk and sit right there, mind my own business, not have to interact with anyone else. And as long as I was by myself, I was okay. But to be the ugly little red-headed girl and be picked on and not have a mama and daddy around to protect you, she said it was so, so painful. Hey, young people, look up and listen to me. Rejection will make you or break you. And you mamas and daddies, look up here and listen to me. I come tonight to preach to the kids, not the mamas and daddies. But you mamas and daddies better listen to me right here. Rejection is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's real. When your child don't look like the other children, and if they're Christian children, guess what? They're probably not going to.
Yeah.
And they don't act like the other children. If they're Bible-believing children, guess what? They're not going to act like the other children.
Right.
Whenever they go to school, you better know they're being hounded, brother, sometimes even in the Christian school.
Yep.
Oh, yes. You better know it's real, Mama and Daddy. But you youngins, listen to me. Please understand what God's doing. He's separating you from the pack.
Amen.
That's what he's doing. My wife come in. It's been now, I don't know, month and a half ago. She leads a women's Bible study in our church. She come in. She had a study all typed out. She's graduated from a college there in our area. She's great as far as clerical skills, things. She's sharp. She's sharp. In high school, she was who's who amongst high school seniors. I was, who's that? But she's real smart. And she put this study together, Proverbs 31. The study, the title of it's real simple. I do virtuous acts, but am I a virtuous woman? Now, I'm a preacher. So you know what I do all day, 5 and 6 days a week? If I'm not reading and studying or preparing, I'm listening to someone else preach or teach. That's what I do. It's my whole life. And my wife come in, and she said, here, I put this study together. See what you think of it. And she walks out, and I read this study. She comes back. She said, what you think? I said, baby, hear me. I said, I'm not saying it because you're my wife. I said, I think that's the best I ever heard on Proverbs 31. Tears come to her eyes. She said, really? I said, yeah. She said, you're not telling me that just because I'm your wife. I said, no. Really? Tears come to her eyes. She said, wow, that you would say that. It means something. But that God would do it through me. That really means something.
Amen.
And walk back out. Hear me now. You know what the Lord was doing in her young life? She got saved, and when she got saved, she was too saved for all of her other Christian family. She was King James only. Yeah. Not non-Christian rock and roll. Yeah. Dress appropriately. Live right. Oh, yeah. And her family would turn on her. You know what the Lord was doing, son? The Lord was separating her from the pack so that she could stand on her own. Young people, solitary life. I'm going to have to close. Solitary life. Please hear me. Humanly speaking, when you get lonely, don't get bitter.
Amen.
Don't get bitter. Walk with God.
Amen.
Walk with God. If you'll walk with God, although you're living a solitary life, it'll not be a lonely life because the Lord makes this promise, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I've got a daughter right now. I've got a daughter. Raised up in church. Married. You remember that young fundamental firecracker. Dressed just right, combed his hair just right, kept his shoes shiny, good looking boy. And boy, she was in love. 2 pretty little girls. I've got 2 little old toe-headed granddaughters. Beautiful, long, curly, blonde hair. And you know what happened one day? He found somebody else. left her. She got on the rebound, found another idiot, ended up in the same mess. I was talking to her one day. I said, baby, how you doing? She said, I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying every morning, Dad, that God will fix this. I said, keep doing that. Well, you know what happened after a while? She quit doing that. You know where she's at tonight? Bitter. Backslid on God. I've seen her one day. Brother Josh, I've seen her talking to my mama one day. My mama's a little witted lady. And she brought up everything that had been done wrong to her in her past. And through bitter tears, I watched her and listened to her talk to my widowed mother. Say, Mama, you don't understand what it is to have people call you a lesbian just because your dad is the King James Bible-believing preacher. She said, you don't understand what it is to have people put stuff about you on the internet just because your dad pastors the independent Baptist church. And, Mama, you don't understand what it is for your husband to leave you for some other lady that you thought you were close to, that you thought loved you. And I heard her bring up all these things. You know what I did? I sat there with tears in my heart, in my eyes, my heart melting, because there is my lonely daughter who's got so lonely that she's bitter. And instead of allowing the Lord to use this in her life, this solitary life, and use it to help somebody else, you know what she's done? She's ditched her relationship with Him. And now the solitary life has become the lonely life that's become the bitter life. Young people, be careful. They're going to pick on you. They're going to talk about you. You are that King James, Bible-believing young person in your group. And I'll promise you, if you'll stay the course, stay the course, stay with God, keep your relationship with Him, I'll promise you, God will use it, Israel. He'll use it. But I'll promise you this, son, humanly speaking, there's going to be lonely times in your life. But if you'll stay close to God, hear me, although it's a solitary life, you don't have to feel that burden, that place, that empty place in your life. If you'll stay close to God and walk with Him, you don't have to get lonely and bitter. Amen, amen. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I don't have time to preach it, but Ezekiel, he lives in submission. He lives in submission. All right, God, you want me to preach to dry bones? I'll preach to dry bones. Well, you want me to preach? I want you to preach whatever I command you. That's in the text. You can read it when you go home. All right, I'll preach whatever you command me. Where you command me? In a valley? In a valley. What I tell you? Okay, I'll preach that. To dry bones? I'll do that. To the wind? I'll do that. Yeah, that's submission, man. That's submission. You better learn, young people, you better get this. You're never going to lead. You're never going to lead the Dry Bone Baptist Church, the youth group, the bus route, the Sunday school. You're never going to have God's hand on you. You're never going to see God work in your life to rear anyone from a spiritual graveyard if you don't. You're never going to learn to lead if you first don't learn how to follow. Amen. Can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. I ain't got time to preach it, though. But he lived a life of submission. Lastly, let me say this. The Spirit of God now has moved on Ezekiel. It's put him in this place, and here he is, a man of faith. What's going to happen? Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to do, between now and whatever happens, I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. What a type of faithfulness, full of faith. And he's preaching, and next thing you know, watch it now, he's not going to get bitter. Even though he's living a lonely life, he's still preaching toward unity. I wish I had time to teach that. The ministry of the sinews and the skin. You know what it is? Read it whenever you go back to your room. It's truth and love. It's in Ephesians 4. Truth is called joints in Ephesians 4. It's what connects the body. Hey, don't just because you're lonely, don't get bitter now and work against unity. No, if you're in the will of God and you're lonely, if you're in the will of God, you're still working towards unity. Oh, yeah. And those sinews bring all that connection of the body. And next thing you know, here comes charity. That's what skin is, right? That's what Peter said. What you're seeking out is fervent charity because it covers. That's it. And that skin covers those bodies. And there he is. He's seeing all this. And now the Spirit of God that was on Zeke, now the Spirit of God is blowing and moving in the Dry Bone Baptist church. Oh, I'm telling you, that fellow that looked like a bonehead at the first part of the text, now at the end of the text, he ain't looking dumb no more. No, because now, you know what's happening? The sinews has connected the thing. The skin has covered the thing. And now the wind is a-blowing. The wind that has moved upon Zeke now is moving up on the boneyard. And there they stand. The Spirit of God has blowed in the life of Ezekiel, now in his family, if you will, and there they all stand together. Where there was one, now there's an army. He looked real ignorant at first. Sometimes faith will make you look that way to the carnal believer or to the lost soul out there. But young people, stay at it, 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 stay at it. Pray. Get God on your life. Plead with God to be filled with God, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you keep preaching in your boneyard. And I promise you, if you'll just stay right there and keep preaching and keep plowing, just keep passing by and doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to see some things. You're going to see some things. I come to the Saxton Baptist Church 24 and a half years ago, 25 years in November. This year be my 25th year. Now, when I come there, guess what I was? As a young 24-year-old Southern Baptist NIV toting preacher. Y'all didn't know they invited an NIV toting Southern Baptist to come preach to you, did you? But they did. I picked up a commentary. Marion, North Carolina. The commentary, some of you fellows know it. It was on Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And I began to read it. The old orange paperback commentary. Well, this old preacher now, I'd never heard of him. He's saying King James only, premillennial, dispensational. What does all that mean? So guess what I do? I go back into my Southern Baptist church that I'm pastoring now as a 24-year-old kid, preaching premillennial, dispensational, King James only. And you know what happens? It splits right down the middle. We go from, I don't know, whatever we had. We just went in debt for a new building. We go down to 19 adult people. Just went in debt. Huge debt. You know what the director of missions did in our area? I live in the Southern Baptist Vatican. That's the predominant area. The largest Southern Baptist school in our state is in my hometown. It's the second fastest growing college in America. The outgoing president used to pastor the church I pastor now. You know what the director of missions did in our area? He put a monthly news bulletin out every month. And what he did this particular month, that we pulled out of the convention and become a King James Bible-believing Independent Baptist church, he put Mike Gray and the Saxton Baptist Church in his bulletin. It's now being the cult leader and the cult of the county. Because we were no longer a line of the true Baptist, the Baptist succession of the Southern Baptist. Therefore, we're a cult, I'm a cult leader, and sent it into all those Southern Baptist homes in our county. Now, there I was, whatever I was at that age, 25, something like that, just a kid preacher. Now, here I've got now a lot of my former friends coming against me. Our church has split. I've got 19 adult people. Here I am, a young preacher, don't have a clue what I'm doing. I just figured this out. King James Bible, premillennial, dispensational, yep, that's what I'm going to be. Ain't no more of them around us, but that's what I'm going to be. Now, needless to say, we end up going through another split. Yeah. Hard times. I was raised unchurched, but can I tell you this? I got a father now. He's in heaven. My mama, she's in our congregation. My only sister's in our congregation. My only brother's in our congregation. And all their families. I get a pastor, all my family. All but the middle daughter. She went over to Central Kentucky. She married one of the Shirley boys. Some of y'all know them. My oldest daughter, she's out. Everybody else, I pastor them all. It's in my family. Now, looking back, all these years, Alex, where I started as a Bible believer, and God showed me, revealed to me, son, this is the truth. What are you going to do with it? I had a decision to make. All right, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. But you've called me to pastor and to preach right here. And if the King James Bible is the Word of God, I'm going to sit right there. If that premillennial dispensational, if that's the key to Bible doctrine, I'm going to set right there. I'm going to teach Sunday school, preach Sunday morning, preach Sunday night, teach Wednesday night. This is what I'm going to do, Lord, and I'm going to do what I can to reach my family and friends and this area right here where you place me. Amen. And I was a cult leader back then. I was the crazy back then. But one day, this text is a second coming text. One day, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to stand there. Now I've got nephews and nieces that have been saved. Got a nephew that's been called to preach. And what's going to happen? The Lord just keeps growing our family. Got two nephews right now expecting babies. The Lord just keeps growing our family. You know what's going to happen one day? One day, all those folks that said, crazy, cult leader, wacko, and some of that's right. I'll just be honest with you. They're going to pass by and say, wow, that's an army. That's an army. Kids, it might not happen in this side. Stay in your valley. I could give you all kinds of stories. This past Sunday night, that big debt, you know what we did Saturday? We paid it off. This past Sunday night, our church is growing again. You know what they did? Here's what they did. They said, preacher, right in the middle, we was getting ready to partake of communion. Right in the middle of communion. One of my deacons jumped up and said, preacher, we've been talking. I said, oh, no. That's what I said. He said, no, good talking. I said, all right. He said, we won't give you a raise. I said, okay. He said, hey, no. He said, well, we want to give you that parsonage and that piece of ground over beside it. I said, excuse me? He said, yeah. He said, you've been here now over half your life, man. We want to do something to bless you. Wow. Took my breath. I'm just an old poor country boy. I ain't never had anybody give me anything, man. I said, are y'all being serious? He said, yeah, Preacher Mike. We just want to do something for our preacher. You know what they begin to do in there? Oh, hear me. You ain't got to worry about we Bible-believing preachers getting a big head. After what we've been through, and you young people hear me, you're going to go through it. One after another, they begin to tell stories about how God has blessed their families and blessed their lives because of the truth that's preached in our church. Young people, some of y'all have boneyard. You have family members that are lost, family members that are backslid on God. Maybe you go to public school. Maybe you have friends that are not right with God. Please see that God has placed you in those distinct bones. As dead and dry as they are, God's put you there. Will you hear him tonight before we close? Will you hear him say, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And between now and the time that you get the answer, will you just stay right there, purpose in your heart? This weekend, if I get nothing else, I'm going to get some stick-to-itiveness, some thankfulness. I'm going to stay set right here in my boneyard, plead with the Spirit of God to fill me and use me. It might be a lonely life at times, but I'm going to stay right here and beg God to do something in my boneyard. I promise you, you'll turn around twice and see that God has used you to do something special in your boneyard. Let's stand. I got a call today. I'm going to pray. Got a call today, Brother Sampson. It was Miss Christy Jarbo's boy, Connor. Connor called me. He's going through it. Connor lost his mama. It was February of 18, first part of last year. I watched Miss Christy Jarbo slowly die for 7 years. Christy Jarbo sing like a bird. Beautiful young lady. Beautiful young lady. She had cancer on her brain. I watched her wilt away for 7 years. I never one time heard her murmur or complain. Never one. I'd go see her and she'd pray. I'd go see her. She'd want to sing a song. Eventually, she got so weak, all she could do is take her fingers and make a praying symbol that I'd pray for her and pray for her husband and her only son, Connor. Most faithful Christian I'd ever seen. Dying physically. But always had a touch of God on her. always faithful. All she wanted to see was her boy grow up and do something for God. I'll be honest, I've not seen him in some time. But today I got a call. Something else is going on in his life. Pray for him. Young 19-year-old boy going through it again. But today he began to talk about reading his Bible and praying. Talking to God about his life and what he'd been through. And I began to talk to him about what his mama would want. And I could hear his voice break, Brother Sampson, and him say, I know, Preacher Mike. I know that's what my mama would want. Here's what I know. I know that little prayer warrior left this life back the first of 2018, February actually of 2018, wondering, will my son ever do it? Will he ever stand for God like his mama stood? Will he ever be a prayer warrior, a student of the Bible, like his mama stood? Can these bones live? I'll tell you what I saw in that young lady's life. When she didn't know, she just trusted the one that did. Lord, I don't know, but you know. So here's what I'm going to keep doing, praying for my boy, talking to my boy, and slipped out of this life, trusting the one who knows. Young people, I promise you, God will put you in a place in life many times where you don't know what's going on. Trust the one that does. And just today, I heard something in Connor's voice. I'll be honest, I've never heard. I know what it is. It's the result of a mama who stood faithfully in that boneyard. You mamas and daddies, stay faithful. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being good to us. I pray I've said a little something to help these young people. God, many times faith appears foolishness. But this thing isn't over. Help us, Lord. We're not walking by sight. We're walking by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of those things unseen, the things that we can't see. Help us, Lord, through the vision of faith. God, see that you're still able. You're still able. But God, if it never happens, help us to purpose in our heart between now and the answer.
Amen. Amen.
To will it happen.
Amen.
Help us to stay faithful in our boneyard. Thank you again for these opportunities. Bless this meeting. Please, God, for your glory and the help of these young people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Preacher.